All right. Hi, my name is Mrs. Ellen Petit, and I am a teacher here at AACA. Today is Thursday, November 16th, and I am speaking with Mrs. Connie Del Toro, who is my friend and coworker at AACA, and we are recording this interview in Chicago, Illinois. Thank you so much, Connie, for letting me interview you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and let's just get started. So,
sure.
How long have you been at AACA?
I just completed my first year here at AACA, so I'm a new member of the family.
Well, we're glad to have you. And before you were at AACA, where were you and how long were you in whatever environment you were in?
I worked prior to this job at Northwestern University in Evanston.
Okay.
And I was there for 8 years. I did a various number of jobs. The last job there I had was, I was a coordinator of a high school program.
Oh.
So working with faculty and students, and I really liked it.
So you were still like had a lot of connection to education.
Yes, exactly. I thrive in that environment. I love that environment. So
that's great. Well, yes. You've been making a huge difference here. But I'm wondering about what made you kind of switch to AACA, especially being at Northwestern for 8 years.
Right. And I thought that at the time I was going to be settled there for the rest of my career.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2015, something happened that changed my life a little bit. And, well, for a great deal. But my brother, my adult disabled brother, came to live with me.
Okay.
After the passing of my mother. And he had been living there in a very small town in Indiana. And we tried a group home situation, but that didn't work out. So the best, at that time, the best option was for him to come to live with me here in Chicago.
Yeah.
So we rearranged everything.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that kind of took a hit was my job at Northwestern. I worked long hours. I had a lot of responsibilities.
Uh-huh.
And it was far.
Yeah.
It was fine for us at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But with the addition of my brother, it just got to be very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided that I would either go to part-time
mm-hmm.
or quit,
yeah.
which I was very reluctant to do
yeah.
since I enjoyed my job. And we prayed about it. We prayed that something would come in front of us and show us. And one day, I was at church at St. Alphonsus, because I'm a member here.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I have been for a while. I opened the bulletin, and there was a notice that said that AACA, the school, was looking for an administrative assistant. So
that's amazing.
It was like an answer to a prayer. It really was. It was like, how am I going to do this? I didn't want to leave my job, but
mm-hmm.
I knew my responsibility at home. I knew my brother needed help. So what could I do? And it was like, here it is. It's 4 blocks. I can walk.
That's great.
It's shorter hours, you know, because of the commute. And I can get, you know, home if I need to very quickly. And I can get to his day program if I need to.
Wow.
Also. So, yeah, that was what brought me here to AACA.
Wow.
And I love that.
What
I'm
a story.
Very grateful.
What a blessing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm very grateful for that.
That's amazing. So what is your brother's name?
Okay, so my brother's name is Fino. That's short for Rufino.
He okay.
was named after my father. And he is 62 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to do everything. But he particularly likes music. He likes anything put out by Disney. Disney movies. Disney
no way.
Music. Disney radio.
Okay.
He, like I said, he loves music. He likes sports teams, but he's pretty much a fair weather fan. If the Bears are winning, he likes them. If the Cubs are winning, he likes them. If they lose, he talks about them.
Fair.
Yeah, like everybody else.
Yeah.
He watches a lot of TV. But he's a pretty good guy. He likes to do things. He likes to talk a lot, and he
mm-hmm.
likes to go out in the community. And that's been very hard for him because he left. As hard as it is for me to take care of him and to change my life and our life, it was very hard for him too because he left a very comfortable situation.
Mm-hmm.
He was with my mom for forever.
Yeah.
He had his own room. He was in his home. He had a group of friends. He had family that looked after him. He could go out. He
oh,
could
wow.
walk and people would watch him.
Because you said you grew up in it, or he was in a small town.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So people knew him. If
yeah.
he were walking around, they knew, oh, that's Fino. They would look out for him.
Okay.
You know, they wouldn't let anything happen to him.
Yeah.
It was a big change for him.
Yeah.
Because he left his room, which he was very attached to. Mm-hmm. He left his home, his friends, and that freedom that he did not have. And that was one of the hardest things that he couldn't do. And we tried that, but it's just very different here. Mm-hmm. You know, there's traffic and people, and it's just big and confusing.
Yeah.
So we had to deal with that, you know. And we made a lot of changes to our lives. Our schedules changed in addition to the job. I had to learn about the system, quote unquote, you know, Medicare, Medicaid, service providers, paratransit, Special Olympics, which he does, and he's very good at.
Oh, that's cool. Tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. He's a Special Olympic athlete, and he's won 23 medals in various sports, bowling, bocce, field hockey.
That's so fun.
Everything that they do. Yeah. They do it to, you know, they participate to the best of their abilities. Mm-hmm. And he's gotten a lot out of it. He's made a lot of friends.
That's great.
Done a lot of things. Seen a lot of stuff, a lot of different parks in the city. Gone to Soldier Field. All kinds of things that they do. Yeah. And they give back a lot to the athletes and to the parents. So
it sounds like you guys have made a lot of new, really positive memories since he's been living with you now. Can you tell me about a memory maybe you have of him growing up and what that was like
kind
of growing up?
Yeah, you know... Well, he's older than me,
okay.
which he tells me all the time.
Oh, really?
He says,
I'm older. Definitely that older brother?
Yes. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm older than you. You can't tell me what to do. So
okay.
That's his favorite line. But when we were younger, you know, I didn't notice anything. But as we, you know, as we got older, mm-hmm. You know, he was a playmate, but he was also different. And I knew that, but I didn't know what mm-hmm. was different. But as we got older, I thought my role was more of a person to look after him,
okay,
which I didn't understand at the time. And
yeah.
I knew he didn't advance. He didn't read or write. He couldn't do a lot of other things that other kids could do.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't know as much. So so all along, you know, I knew that there was something different. I just didn't know what it was. But he was always, always that kid and that person. And he still is today, who's hopeful, who wants to try everything, despite any limitations that he might have. He still says he wants to do different things. Like he'll say he wants to write a book, and he wants to be a playwright.
That's
or he'll
awesome.
He wants to be a famous movie star. Something like that. So that he still has those dreams and those hopes. And it's sort of endearing because I know that he still feels that way, you know, in somewhere in his little mind, in his little heart, he still has those ideas that he's going to do that.
He sounds like he's inspiring, and he's always looking for, you know, a next bright idea or something.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. He says he's going to retire and get into real estate. You know?
Get out.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm not sure where he's going to retire from, but he's going to retire from someplace. But he's hopeful, so he gives me that. He, you know, I see that. And, you know, despite as hard as it is for him, he still comes back at that, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like, you know, in thinking about both what your life was like kind of growing up and now, and thinking about Thanksgiving coming up, how do you think that this experience of kind of taking in your brother has affected your idea of gratitude and what it means to be grateful?
Right. Yeah, there are a lot of things that I didn't realize I was grateful for or mm-hmm. that I am grateful for. Number one, it led me here. You know,
we're so glad you're here.
I mean, when you think about it, it really did. I would never have made the change and looked for something different and opened that bulletin and thought, I should do that.
Yeah.
So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the community I'm in now, which I didn't think about, you know, starting over.
That's
later.
That's true. Yeah.
And meeting all these great, fabulous, fine, dedicated people, you know, these educators who I admire so much and who I learn from every day. I've got a great colleague, Mrs. Wallet, who's taught me so many things. Mm-hmm. She's made the transition great. So that's been one thing that it's led me here. And then the group of parents and siblings of other disabled adults that have helped me through the system. They
wow.
helped me, like, here's a program. Here's a program run by the city parks. So Wells Park is out here. Anything that they had to share. I'm in many parent groups, even though I'm not a parent. There's lots of programs out there, but you've got to sift your way through them.
Yeah.
And it's can be undaunting because you just feel like you're getting up one hill and there's a mountain after that because, well, you have to be on Medicaid in order to get the services and you have to be in the pun system and it's a parking lot. And yeah, you just can't go up to a place and say, I think my brother might, you know, do well here.
Yeah.
No, you've got to stand in line with a lot of other people. And, you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard for everybody. So I'm grateful for their knowledge and their wisdom. I'm grateful for my family, my sister, my kids who help out, my husband's family, my nieces. They all help out when they can. And my husband, who's never thought he would have to take this on.
Yeah.
You know, we were empty nesters.
That's what you said. Yeah.
Yeah. So we did not think we were going to go back to caring for someone.
Uh-huh.
But he's, you know, he's faced it. And I think mostly, I think I'm grateful for him too. He shows me, you know, that despite what he has to deal with, he's still hopeful. And I get to take care of him. I get to, like, do that work.
Yeah.
I know, in a strange way, like, we all have these burdens in life. You know, it's not easy. But mine is, it's lighter with the help of a lot of people. And I get something positive back. I really do. You know, he's a delight. And it is work, but it's fulfilling work, too.
Well, Connie, thank you so much for taking the time to share your story and to speak with me.
Yeah, thank you for helping me get it out there.
Yeah.
I loved it. Thanks, Ellen.
No problem.